value growth. People value blessing. You know, if I say you'll be blessed, everybody will shout. Say you will grow, well, praise God. You know. But they don't understand that growth is the key to all blessings. As you grow spiritually, then you're able to inherit, you automatically inherit all the blessings that the younger people are running around for. You know, you find you don't even really have to pray about those things. I didn't say you don't pray. I said you don't really have to. What I mean by that is that you're not desperate. Because all the things you need will come as and at when due. Jesus said it, seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. All the other things will be added. Even with you, what are you really asking? I know I said this years ago. Now I'm talking about it, I just remembered. You know, I can't remember when last I sat down to pray for a specific material blessing. Like, oh God, give me a car. Oh God, give me a house. You know, I have a Jeep. I have about three or four of them. You know, I never prayed about them. I never prayed about them. I never went to God. I said, oh God, oh, that man is riding Jeep. Me too, I must ride Jeep so then I'd be man of God. That's the mentality of a lot of people. You know, never. Now, I'm not saying it's not important. I do pray about finances and I pray about material things. But what I do is I pay my tithes. Then once a week, I have, or twice a week, you know, something like that. I have a particular time of prayer when I pray about my material things and I pray in the Spirit. You know, and then, you know, because I'm a pastor of a church like this, I pray for finances to come in specific amount. I do that, you know, but I don't, you know, I'm not hung up on an aeroplane or a car or a this or a that. You know, you become worldly minded. You know, that's what you start meditating on. And that's what you start visualizing. I was teaching the other day about seeing him that's invisible. God told me, he said, don't bother visualizing about things. He said, visualize me. You got me, all the other things will come. Amen. Otherwise, you start having idols in your mind. I didn't realize this, you know, when I was a younger Christian. I didn't know this. My first year as a Christian, you know, was this faith talk. And it was correct, you know, that, you know, when you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and shall have them. So when you pray, you believe you receive them. Start visualizing. You know, I had a friend of mine, you know, who was believing for a Datsun 280Z. I can never forget it. So every day he had his magazine in the house. We always stay together, you know. And we open the magazine and he visualizes it. My dad soon come in Jesus' name. It never came. But I tell you, that guy today, the same guy, he has all kinds of cars. Far better than any Datsun or anything. But that's 30 years later. That's 30 years later. After he's grown and he's developed, you know. But you know, we're spiritual children at that time. He's trying to. So you don't want to fall into that trap. Are you listening to me? You know, no, don't. Value growth more than you value blessing. I didn't say you shouldn't value blessing, but value growth more. Because with growth will come all the blessings you will ever need. And then you won't become materially minded, you become God minded. And whatever it is that you need, because you're walking the Spirit, you're seeking the kingdom, it'll be added. People will just wake up and give you things. You know, or God will lead you somewhere. You know, all the cars we have, if you hear their testimonies, they're so funny. You know, the G-Wagon that we have, you know, my wife didn't even know what a G-Wagon was. She didn't know what it was because, you know, my wife is not into cars like me. You know, I'm into cars and all that. She went with Joshua Luby, you know, to go and try and buy me a car. I wasn't around, you know, so they went to this Mercedes-Benz shop in Lagos and they, she wanted to buy me the normal Mercedes kind of Benz, you know, and all that. So when we got, well, of course, Joshua knows about cars. So when they got there, Joshua said, no, mommy, no, this one, you know. But we couldn't afford it. We couldn't afford it. We didn't have that kind of money at that time. So anyway, to cut a long story short, the guy who owned the shop got to, you know, see my wife and say, oh, is this what you want? Oh, I want for my husband, blah, blah, blah. So the man said, okay, don't worry. You know what I'm going to do? He said, this one, you know, in fact, we don't even have it in stock, you know, and sorry, you know. And then I think she went back. I can't remember the full story. But anyway, to cut a long story short, what happened was that somebody else had ordered, because the car you had to specially ordered, you know, and you have to order it from Germany. So what happened was the guy, you know, somebody had placed an order for it. So the person who placed the order for it said he didn't want it anymore. And so the man had to retrieve the car from the person, but use his own money. The dealer used his own money to get the car back and then kept it for us for about 3-4 months. And so we're bringing the money little by little until we could pay for it. That's how these things happen. Praise the Lord. Talk about favor. People don't do that kind of thing. They don't give that kind of thing. And you know what he said? When we went to pick up the car, you know, I think it was me who went to pick up the car. You know, this was some months later. You know, he said to me, he said, Pastor, I appreciate you because I know you count your pennies. He said, you're not like the guys in Abuja who come here and buy about 5 of these things at the same time. Because I know money doesn't grow on trees. So I don't respect the way they got their money, but I respect the way you got your money. True story. True story. You know, so I say all that to say, don't get hung up on those things. You seek on the kingdom and all that, the things will come. They'll come. But you know, it took me about 30 years. So you're not going to get it in 2 weeks. I'm talking about the G-Wagon now. You know, some people hear that testimony, believe God for G-Wagon. That's the kind of covetousness we don't want to enter the church. You have to wait for things at their time. Covetousness is trying to desire something that God has not given you at that time. Sure, you'll get it. Amen. But grow first. Like me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your mercies. We thank you for, as we go into your word tonight, we humble ourselves. We pray for fresh unction and anointing upon my heart and my lips. I will speak as I should as an oracle of God. Put the same anointing and unction on the ears and the hearts of all that will hear me. Those who are here physically, those who hear me remotely, electronically. So this word will flow freely from you through me to the people. To do an internal and eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own in particular. To cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We also pray for mercy unto eternal life, Lord God, so that I will speak with precision. I will redeem the time. I will say only what you want me to say. I will bring out of the treasure of this word things new and old, even as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. We further pray that the power of the Spirit of God will be released in great measure to back and follow the words wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Yea, power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men so that they will become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. All's in agreement, receiving all the blessings mentioned in their individual life, agreed and said, amen. We're going to continue studying God's word tonight. Like I said, this is our school of the Spirit. We're teaching on Christian perfection using the Lord Jesus Christ as our model. And it's vital for us to understand that this indeed is the purpose of God for this end time. Because we are at the close of the age. Even a blind man can see that. All the things Jesus prophesied, spoke about in Matthew 24, all the signs are in the earth, earthquakes, pestilence. Earthquakes are not news anymore. They're having another hurricane. It's just hitting the Florida coast. You know, the last one was just a few weeks ago. The frequency. Signs, you know, the seas and the waves roaring, you know, everything, you know. That's alone to even make you believe the Bible. How can somebody who lived 2,000 years ago be telling you about what's happening and it's happening today and you can see it and you tell me there's no God? You're a fool. Pastor, prophet, you're not a fool. It's not you I'm talking to. You know, but what, you know, the Bible says the fool. Really, it's a mathematical fact. You have to really be a real fool not to believe that there is a God. Not with all the things you can see. Hello. Anyway,
And so these things show that we're in the end time. And the Bible says, in the third day, I'll be perfected. The purpose of God cannot be completed unless the church is perfected. Because it is the perfect church that grows in the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ that will deliver creation from the bondage of corruption. Yesterday, a report came out from the UN on global warming. You know, this is a scientific, you know, a report from the global that if we don't correct what we're doing with fossil fuels now, the so-called greenhouse carbon dioxide effect is heating up the planet, that if we don't correct it in the next 10 or 12 years, we can't correct it again. It would have gone too far, you know, and the temperature, the temperature of the earth is rising every day. It's one of the reasons why we're having all these earthquakes and floods, because what's happening is that the ice bergs in the North Pole, they are melting, so the water is, and then the heat, because of the oceans are warmer, so you know all these trade winds are picking up the heat, and then they're causing all these terrible climatic conditions. It's pure science. Some people say they don't believe in it. I won't go there tonight. You know, the good thing, the thing about science and the Word of God, and science and the same thing, really, because it's truth. You know, one's scientific truth, one's biblical truth, they're all the same. You know, all come from God. Is that it has nothing to do whether you believe it or not. It's true. Your opinion will not change the fact that if you walk into a room with x-rays, it would destroy your tissues. Whether, oh, I didn't feel anything, and I don't believe in x-rays. Oh, go walk in there. It's just as stupid to say you don't believe in the Bible, and you know, things of the Spirit. They're there. Whether you believe or not, won't change it. So, you know, the temperature of the earth is rising, you know, and then even famines, you know, even the agriculture, the food production, because it's getting hotter and hotter. In some places, there's no water, so they cannot grow food as much as they used to, you know, like we used to, you know. And so many, there's so many, what you call, multiplier effects, you know. And so they've come out with this report that, you know, if we don't get it right in the next 12 years, you know, and some of the countries like China and America, because they're big, they have big industries and all of that, the only way they can get the kind of power they need is to burn coal. So for economic reasons, they don't want to stop the the burning of fossil fuels. That's why there's this big research now in renewable energy, solar energy, and all of that. Anyway, the thing about it is, because of man's fallen nature, and his greed, usually people will know the right thing to do, but the nature inside them will not allow them to do that right thing. The only thing that's going to save the day is the manifestation of the sons of God. We will deliver creation from that bondage of corruption. So there's no other reason for you to get motivated to get this thing. That's one. It came from the UN. Praise the Lord. That was a letter to us from the UN. Boys, get your act together and save the planet. Amen. Before they destroy the planet. Oh yeah, there's even a scripture somewhere in the Bible. I'm sure you Bible guys. Exactly. Where's that scripture? The scripture says, it's in Book of Revelation, destroy them which destroy the earth. Give me that scripture. People don't know those. So God is an environmentalist. He sure is. After all, he made the environment. So he doesn't like you messing around with his environment. Destroy them that destroy the earth. It's a revelation. Somebody look it up for me. You know, so while I... Aha, here we go. Right. Look at the lower part of the verse. This is Revelation chapter 11, verse 18, where it says the nations were angry. They're always angry. Now, wrath is come on the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that I should give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and should destroy them, which do what? Destroy them. There are people who are destroying the earth by their actions. You know, how many people know that chewing gum is destroying the earth? You ever see it on CNN?
Stop chewing chewing gum.
Because it's made of plastic and it's non-degradable. So they put it in the oceans. They're finding now that the plastic is getting so much in the oceans, entering the fish. The same fish you're going to eat. And some of it becomes toxic. So if you're chewing chewing gum, let's pray for them. Amen. Now I say, Mal, you're using chewing gum, used to speak in tongues. It's the same action. So use the energy. Instead of using chewing gum, you know, you're feeling something, you feel like chewing gum, just... Hello. I didn't mean to get all over you tonight, but God got all over you. Praise the Lord. Only God knows where that came out of, Pastor G. If somebody told me I was going to talk about chewing gum during the message. Yeah, so God was trying to get on somebody's case. Someone was chewing gum around here. Hello, somebody. Okay, so we grow. Jesus, our pattern. Bethlehem, Nazareth, and Capernaum. Showing baby stage, the little child, young man stage. And then the mature stage, like the butterfly, the egg, the caterpillar, then the pupa stage, and then the full butterfly. And so this is the pattern. So we get born again. And most of us, sadly, many Christians, down through the centuries and the ages, and that's why people don't believe this stuff. Majority of the church has only lived in the baby, little child stage. So they think that's all of Christianity. Because nobody has seen the butterfly yet. So they don't believe the butterfly exists, but it does. How do we know? The word says so. Amen? And the scripture cannot be broken. Are you listening to me? And so we use the seven pillars, seven principles Jesus himself used. Says, how do you know Jesus used those principles? Go and read the book. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 1. It says, wisdom hath built a house. She hath hewn out. I said, who is wisdom? It's Christ. Christ, the wisdom of God. He said, I will build this, upon this rock will I build my church. So we know he's talking about the Lord Jesus. You know, we know that prophetically. And so those same principles, we are to practice them today. Number one, the fear of God, which is honesty and humility of heart. Two, praying in the spirit. The Bible says, in the days of his flesh, he offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears. both at communion prayer and battle prayer, binding the devil, speaking of God's word. We call it confession, same thing, speaking God's word, meditating God's word, saying it in your mouth with your mouth and saying it in your heart. It's very important. And practicing of the word. And then fasting and living a fasted life. These are the seven principles of Christ's life. It is the practice of these things that make you a disciple. If you're not practicing this thing, you're not a disciple. I didn't say you're not a believer. I didn't say you're not a Christian, but you're not a disciple. And, you know, there's a part there that I didn't mention, but it's in there. It's not explicit. It's implicit in there, which is fourth watch praying. Because, see, you can't do this kind of life if you don't get up early in the morning to pray. That's why most Christians don't do it, because it takes discipline. And the good news about it is that the Bible says the promise is short. It says it's by grace that the promise might be short to all the seed. Say, all of us, when first I used to sleep. Hello? I used to sleep. You Christians trying to pray in the middle of the night, get up early. I sleep. Plenty sleep. And I know some people are still sleeping and they're shaking their head like this. Don't worry, God will forgive you. Amen. You know why God forgave me? Praise the Lord. He will have mercy on you. He says it's by grace. You'll find that as you, what God wants to see is the willingness and the diligence. God will either have a sleepy Christian than a Christian who doesn't even try. So as you practice, you sleep a little bit. The Holy Spirit said, don't worry, he's my son. Okay, I'll help you. Give you more grace. Give you more strength. They get better and better and better and better. Are you listening to me? All these disciplines, God knows that it's difficult for the flesh. That's why he's giving you his spirit. That's why the Holy Spirit gives life to your mortal body. So that you are not a debtor to live after the flesh. So through the spirit, you can crucify the deeds of the flesh. And you can now do what God told you to do. It's not you who's going to do it. It's you. But it's the spirit of God working in you to will and to do of God's good pleasure. Isn't that good news? Give the Lord a clap offering. That's why this is called the gospel. It's good news. I'll never forget the day I discovered that scripture. Many, many years ago, when I was a younger Christian, I said, will to do, I said, I've made it.
In the day I discovered that scripture in Philippians, it's actually in two places in the New Testament. It's in Philippians as well as in Hebrews. But I saw one, I said, it's the will. I said, because before, you know, when I first became a Christian, I thought, oh, you know, I wasn't disciplined enough. My will, you know, my resolve, I was easily influenced. If I was around my friends and they didn't want to pray, you know, I too would do the same things they did. So I felt that, you know, my determination was not strong enough. My discipline was not good enough and all of that. You know, and I was reading the Bible, you know, I said, it's God who work. I said, oh, man, I made it. So God's going to help me to will and to do. All my problems are over. Praise the Lord. And I started practicing it, and with time, you know, I became a very disciplined person. Became very, very disciplined. I can pray for hours, get up early in the morning, you know. Things that ordinarily before were difficult for me to do. So if I made it, there's hope for you. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. There's hope for you. So we need to learn these disciplines, practice them. As we practice them by the blood, the word, and the spirit, the sin nature in the soul and the body are gradually cleansed out. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting. I like that word because it's in the present continuous tense. Holiness and the fear of God. So it's a thing we have to, you know, there's no shortcut. You know, you practice these things and you will come to this experience. The Lord Jesus Christ himself, you know, all those years in Nazareth, he was practicing these principles. Are you listening to me? Oh, yeah. He was practicing them. The Bible says he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Now, that doesn't mean he disobeyed and then learned. It just means that, you know, to obey God, he had to learn and practice the principles of the Word of God for him to obey God. You see, even though he was a son, it was not automatic because he was a son. That's why I said, though he were a son. It wasn't automatic because he was a son. He had to learn obedience. He had to suffer self-denial. He had to get up, pray, you know, and all that. Then the mercy and the grace of God, he says, he grew in wisdom and in stature and the grace of God. In favor with God and men. He made it by grace. You're going to make it by grace. Are you listening to me? And so, well, now looking at him. Now let's look at Luke chapter 18. That's in our last lesson. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Am I helping anybody here? Amen. I like this stuff. You know why? It's good news. Sometimes it doesn't sound like good news to some people, but trust me, it's good news. In our last lesson, we looked at verses 1 to 8, where we're talking about the unjust judge. And, you know, well, what Jesus was teaching about, let's just summarize the spirit of it, was he was talking about persistency in prayer. It says, you know, we talked about a widow going to a judge, you know, said, and I told you that it doesn't mean that God doesn't want to give to you. The persistency is talking about coming against the enemy. The thing that's causing prayer not to be answered is not God's unwillingness. So you don't have to wear God down to try and convince God to give it to you. God wants to give it to you more than you want to get it. But the thing is that the prince of the power of the air, like it says in the book of Daniel, the prince of Persia, which stood me. So that's where the persistency comes in. So persistent in praying in the spirit, you know, fasting, all the things you need to do, you know, and if you stay with it, you will overcome the satanic opposition and the answer will come. There's another aspect to that, which I probably didn't say the last time, and I'm just being reminded of it. Another thing that happens when there's apparent delay, it's not apparent, it's actually delay in getting answers to prayer, is that not only are you working on the devil, God is also working on you. Sometimes we forget that and we concentrate only on the devil. It's true the devil is there, but sometimes there is a work inside you that has to be done before you can handle the answer to the prayer. That's why it says, let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect. You! Perfect, entire, wanting nothing. There's some answers to prayer. If God gave it to you now, the answer will finish you. The prosperity of fools shall destroy them. So sometimes when the answer hasn't come, it's not because God doesn't want to give it to you, but it says, you know, it says you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. If the will of God inside your mind, your will, your emotions, and your body hasn't yet been completed to a particular degree, there are certain promises you cannot receive. Nobody said amen. Those are the kind of things. That's why they don't like me. And they never invite me to come back. You know, everybody wants to hear. They won't, don't tell them a lie. That every, oh, you know, in Jesus' name, I just tell you, get your hands out, you know. You know, if you give me, don't let me go there. Praise the Lord. Are you listening to me? Hey, oh, they want, you know, prayer. Sure, God's going to answer your prayers. But many times, to answer your prayers, the first part God has to answer is the work in you. If there is a work in you that hasn't yet been done to a particular degree, there are some answers to prayer that will not come. Pure scripture. Let patience have a perfect work. You got to let it, and it takes time. Because God's working inside you. It's part of the answer to the prayer. But because you're not seeing anything on the outside, you think nothing is happening, whereas something is happening on the inside to prepare you to be able to receive and handle the answer to the prayer. We're praying for the glory of God. And it's coming. Amen. But trust me, when it comes, you'll see what's going to happen. Those that are ready and are properly prepared, that glory will only refine them. How many people know the meaning of refine? How many people know that refine is different from renew? Your mind is already being renewed. Amen. But when the glory comes, it's going to now refine it. You know, gold. There's 12 carat gold. I'm not too good at these things. There's 9 carats. There's my math, which was, is it, what's the highest one? It's 24 carat. Maybe there's a higher one than that. I don't know. You know. Now, the difference between, it's all gold. In a great house, there are many vessels. Now, this guy is now, he's at the moment, he's a 9-carat gold Christian, which is good. But the 9-carat gold cannot handle the glory. So when God starts doing a work inside him, it starts to burn out, and that's why you need heat and you need fire. As it begins to do the refining work, the impurities inside the 9-carat gold come to the surface and they skim it off. They skim it off. So the quality of the gold now changes from 9 to 12, from 12 to 15, from 15 to 18, from 18 to 24. Now he's ready for the glory. But you go give him the glory when he's 9-carat, he's going to destroy him. I didn't say he's in gold. I didn't say he's not a good Christian. It's just that there's still a lot of impurities in there that were the glory to come. We have to understand these things. So yes, God gives us answers to prayer, you know, and he wants to answer our prayers, you know. But it's sometimes it's two things. We have to deal with the devil on the outside, and then we have to deal with the devil on the inside. That's one way of putting it. Amen. Well, it's not the devil directly, the devil's nature. That has corrupted our will, our mind, our emotions, our bodies. So there's this work the Holy Spirit is doing. And that's what's now not allowing the manifestation of certain things to come. Some people praying for certain levels of prosperity. There's a level of prosperity you will never get. People don't. Nobody said amen. Pastor Olubi Ekpeni. In our language, that means Pastor Louis, that's a curse. You be, in Jesus' name. God wants you to get all levels. Of course, God wants you to have all levels. Of I say you will never get until a certain work has been done inside you. Because God will never forget what happened with Solomon. And it was God who gave it to him. It was actually a test run. A pilot study. Solomon had the right heart. At the beginning, he had the right heart, because that was what motivated him to ask not for riches but for wisdom. God was so impressed. God said, chill, man. All right, guess what? I'm going to give you the wisdom you asked for, and then the one you didn't ask for, the money. He said, then there'll be no king like you during your time. And God was disappointed. You know, some people say, you know, you see, God doesn't make us do anything. I've said this so many times and it bears repetition. God does not predestinate individuals. He only predestinates events and conditions. Individuals that fulfill the conditions now become predestinated to those events.
If he predestined individuals, then God will be a respecter of persons. For example, if from my mother's womb God has already predestined, and I'm going to heaven, and then this other fellow from his mother's womb God has predestined is going to hell, that we have no choice in the matter. That's illogical, and it's completely contrary to the nature of God. It's, you know, when people talk like that, it's because, you know, they're thinking, the Bible says, when I was a child, I thought as a child. It's baby Christians that think, oh, well, you know, God knows everything. Yes, God knows everything. God's omnipotent and all of that. But he does not determine who does this and who does that. He just determines the conditions. And he's waiting to watch. That's why the Bible says the eyes of the Lord watch to and fro and fro. If he knew, then why would his eyes be going to and fro throughout the whole earth to look for those whose hearts are perfect before him? He's looking for people who will respond positively. What he knows ahead is what he's going to do. And what his purpose and plans are. Amen? You know, so, yes, he has predestined from the beginning of the world. He has predestinated those that believe in Christ to go to heaven from the foundation of the world. Who those individuals are going to be will be played out as time evolves. And it's difficult for us to understand, but that's the truth. That's the reality. Are you listening to me? So, God, talking about this prayer thing, he's working in us. There's a work. He gave this thing to Solomon. And he knew Solomon knew the Bible. Because Solomon was brought up in the house of God. He was one of David's younger sons. He went with his dad every day to the temple. Solomon knew the Bible. Solomon even wrote some of the Bible. So God expected Solomon to go to Deuteronomy 17, where it says, when you have a king, he will not multiply gold to himself, neither shall he multiply wives. And it wasn't revelation knowledge, it was black and white. Alas, alas. Alas, alas. Look at what Solomon did. God was really disappointed. I mean, God warned him. He said, if you do this, this was going to happen. If you do this, this was going to happen. He said, then this house that you've prayed, he said, I will destroy it. And the Babylonians and some of them will come and carry your sons captive. You know, somehow. It's something of the human heart. It's the sin nature inside the heart. You know, that didn't make Solomon, you know, I'm sure he knew. He just, you know, when Ibadu is too much, when enjoyment is too much, 700, 300 wives, 700 concubines, God have mercy. You know, where would be the time to look at the Bible? You know, anything my eye saw, I took it. The guy had, you know, he was holding, he was, every day was party. Just enjoyment continuous. And the Bible warned them. You know, did God didn't want him to enjoy? Of course God wanted him to enjoy, but not like that. Not to the point where you couldn't pray again, you don't read your Bible anymore, you don't, you know, just. And look at the mess that happened. Solomon's life is a study. And you contrast him to show that this thing is not something, you know. Contrast him with Joseph. Joseph too was very rich. Probably richer than Solomon. I mean, relatively. If you compare the two economies, you know, they were in different points in time. But relatively. Solomon, everybody in the world came to buy from Joseph. The only person that probably richer than him was Pharaoh. And Pharaoh knew he owed his riches to Joseph. So he put everything in Joseph's hand. Joseph was in actual control. Joseph never misbehaved. In Egypt, where he had the opportunity to marry 10 wives if he wanted. Because he was in Egypt. He wasn't even in Israel. There was no law. There was no Bible. There was no priesthood. There was nothing. Yet this boy, he shines through the ages. And he was a young man. He's only 30 years old. That's the time to really, you know. And he was a very good looking guy. You know, if somebody had every excuse in the world to misbehave, it was Joseph. But what did Joseph do? I preached that message many years ago. Joseph had no Bible. He kept. He didn't even have a. He didn't have what Solomon had. He didn't have a Bible. But he had the Word of God, and he kept it in his heart. He kept it in his mouth, and he kept Joseph. Joseph stayed pure in the middle of the corruption of Egypt, with all the stupid gods and Ra and all their silly gods, you know, and all of that. In all of that, he just maneuvered himself, you know, kept himself clean. That's why Solomon will have no excuse on Judgment Day. They will all be judged. Solomon will be judged. David will be judged. Joseph will be judged. I just got a tweet from heaven. You know what it is? You two will be judged. God, the Lord said, tell them. You know, the thing is, all this Solomon said, you two. And me too. The Bible says, and God will bring out of the secrets of men's hearts. All of us. That is going to be an interesting tribunal. You see, when they start playing back all the video. And you can't lie. There's no question of, it's not like all this one, you're going to see FCC and you're going to see the judge. And it's not like that in the heaven. You understand? All the records are there. Bam! The whole thing will be played back. And so you give an account of the things done in the body. Whether they be good or bad. That's a sobering thought. I'm not hearing hallelujah tonight. I don't know. I think I'm preaching a good message. Yeah. So this judge, you know, the woman. So the principle here is Jesus is teaching us to be persistent in faith. We pray, you know, ask. Then we continue to seek by praying in the Spirit. As we pray in the Spirit, we're doing two things. We're overcoming Satan, and we're also overcoming the sin nature in our own flesh that could possibly be a hindrance to our receiving and our answer to prayer. And then he particularly talks about the end time. He says, and you know, I dealt with that last time. I won't go into the detail again today. Where he says, nevertheless, you know, he says his own elect, and we brought it from the book of Revelation. You know, these are the what we call the tribulation saints. There are certain Christians who sadly did not make the first rapture, the rapture of the man child. They didn't make the second rapture, the rapture of the two witnesses and 144,000. Well, we don't, that figure is not accurate. When I say it's not accurate, it's not complete. It's a speculation. All the Bible does is a cloud. We see the 144,000 on earth, and by Revelation 14 we see them in heaven. So we know the 144,000 and the two witnesses went. Now, if some extra people went, we don't know. I don't want to base my faith on we don't know. So I want to go the first one. Go the first flight. Then there's a third flight, which is this one. Where it says, you know, and he shall gather his elect from the four corners of the wind. These are the remnant of her seed that refused to take the mark of the beast and was somehow, by the mercy and the grace of God, were able to escape the execution of the Antichrist. And they're crying to God for vengeance. And God said, wait, let all the others be killed first. He said, then I'll come and I'll deal with the devil and his people. You know, so that's what he was talking about here, where he says, go back to Luke 18. He says, he'll avenge them speedily. By that time, that's why he said this. Jesus was talking prophetically about the end time. He just slotted it in. There was no way he could explain everything. He was telling them a parable. They just put it in by revelation. And he said, nevertheless, when he shall come, there shall be faith on the earth. At that time, the main church has gone. The 144,000 has gone. That's why he says, shall he find faith on the earth? You don't want to... Talk to your neighbor and say, you don't want to miss this first flight, too. Start paying your deposit towards your ticket. I didn't hear you. That's what you're doing every day. We do good morning, Jesus prayer. You're paying your deposit towards your ticket. Ah. Mark Ojamiolubala. Who wants to miss? Ah. God forbid bad thing. Amen. Amen. Would to God, Pastor G, that these truths were taught in churches. You know, everybody will sit up. You know, people are living in this make-believe
you know, a bubble. That's what it is. You know, a complete deception that because you're born again and you're a Christian and you sing choruses and you come to church and you pay your tithe and you haven't backslid, automatically the day Jesus comes, you're going to the rapture. It's a lie. I didn't say you're going to be raptured. And I didn't say you're not going to heaven. I'm saying it is not automatic. It's a lie. Wake up! I will be a bad pastor and a bad teacher to leave you in a false sense of security. It's going to be terrible. The Bible says there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. False sense. They've been told a lie and they've lived a lie all their lives. Who is going to go? Those who watch and pray always. Shout always. Always. Everybody say, I'm going to watch and pray always. Don't say the always small. Say, I'm going to watch and pray always so that I will be accounted worthy to escape these things and to stand before the Son of Man. That is the truth. It came out from the mouth of the truth himself. How many of you know that Jesus' middle name is truth? His first name is way. His middle name is truth. And his last name is life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Are you listening to me? Don't let anybody. That's the truth himself. That's not Pastor Olubio. It's the truth who just told you that. You better hang on to it. Amen. Amen? And don't let anybody. So you know what you should be spending your life doing now? Finding out how to watch and pray always. And not just finding out, actually doing it. So you know you are paying your deposit towards your flight. Don't let them fool you. People don't like the truth. Okay, verse 9. Am I helping anybody here? And he spake this parable. I didn't hear you. Unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Those guys are still around. I've met them over my Christian life. They're very legalistic. I don't know if you've ever met them. Extremely legalistic. You know, they do this thing. They don't wear this. They don't do that. They don't do this. And inside, they feel they are better than all you who are doing those things. So they trust in themselves that they are righteous. They think it's their external works that make them righteous. And the fallout is that they now despise others. I remember when I was a younger Christian, and I just came back from England, you know, and I was by the mercy and the grace of God, I was a nice guy, you know, and I used to mix with everybody, you know. It doesn't matter where you came from, Deeper Life, you know, that day Redeemed Movement started, you know, and some of the other churches. And I just walked in love, because that's what I was taught by Kenneth Hagin. So I walked in love with everybody, you know. And so as I came in certain sections of Christians, I discovered that they despised you. You know, I just came back from England at the time. You know, I wear nice clothes. Hello. Put on nice perfume. And they'll be looking at me funny. I used to wonder why. I didn't, you know, because I was JJC. You know, so some of my friends that them is going, don't you know you're going to hell? I said, me, fa. Yeah. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. I say, yeah, but I'm holy. I've been created in righteousness and holiness of truth on the inside. He said, but you're not doing this, you're not doing that, you're not doing that. I say, yeah, I know, but Jesus didn't say that's what you have to do to be holy. But those guys believed it. They held strongly to it. And they look down on you. I had a particular situation where I was friends with one of them. When he got to know me better later, he got to like me and everything. He used to hold on to us or something. You know, they couldn't do this, they couldn't do that, they couldn't do this, they couldn't. So one time he now asked me to come and preach to some people, you know, and I went. You know, that time there was this controversy about the Holy Spirit. And they thought, you know, you had to be holy,
then you get the Holy Spirit. So, and I taught the exact opposite. That you get the Holy Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit now makes you holy. But they didn't believe me. So I got to this meeting, and there were these kids, you know, it was in a school environment. And, you know, I just came in there, I forgot their doctrine, and just taught what the Bible. All the kids got filled with the Holy Ghost. So the guy looked at me and said, wow. I said, they're not sanctified. I said, they're now sanctified. And then he became my friend and said, we've been saying this thing wrong. I said, of course, it is wrong. You know, you can't trust in yourself because you're doing this and that. That's not what makes you holy. Holiness from the inside out. It's not from the outside in. Are you listening to me? You know, right on the other hand, we panty rascals. I said that in a funny way. You know, Pentecostals, you know, we're so much liberty. You know, don't put me under bondage. You know, so wear anything we like. You see girls wearing all kinds of stupid things to church. You know, people, you know, all kinds of stuff. So we now took that liberty as an occasion and went to the other extreme. Neither is right. Legalism is wrong. You know, liberty as an occasion to the flesh is wrong. Sure, God wants you to be, but doesn't mean you should walk around like the Bible says, the attire of a harlot. Oh, it's in the Bible. So there's a way you can dress, and I put a question mark if you're a child of God. I don't say you're not a child of God. I'm saying your appearance makes people question, because the Bible says, why should you dress like a harlot? Sure, we're not under bondage, but that does not mean I can live anyhow. I got to dress and conduct myself in such a way as to show that the Holy God is living inside me. There's a balance. We have to teach these things over the years and try and get the balance, because you give people an inch, they take a mile. So Jesus is speaking to these people. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The word publican means tax collector. Very bad boy. Really bad. The Pharisee, I didn't hear you, stood and prayed thus with himself. I just got a text. He wasn't praying to God. He was praying with himself. You know, you can pray and get so wrapped up in yourself, you're not even in communication with God. You're just praying what is inside your own carnal mind. He didn't say he prayed to God. He said he prayed with himself. How many times do we pray like that? Are you really talking to God? Or are you telling yourself what you want to hear? That's why you must know the Bible and make sure you're connecting to heaven. And you're not exactly visualizing what I was talking about the other day, you know, seeing him that's invisible. Make sure you're connected to heaven and you're not just having your own party with yourself. Hello? God, I thank thee. He was talking to himself. He thought he was talking to God. That I am not as other men are. Boy, this guy surprises me. Are extortioners. That's the tax collector. And you know the funny thing? There's some truth in what he's saying. That publican there, he was an extortioner. And he, the Pharisee, was not an extortioner. This is the guy who goes to church every Sunday, synagogue. Every Sabbath day. Do you understand? These are the guys who brought their phylacteries. You understand? You see them, they take scripture and they wrap it around. I'll tell you a joke. It was many, many years ago. It was 1980 or something, you know. I was going to America and I was going to Kenneth Hagin's meeting. I took KLM. It was 1981, not 80. I went 80, I went 81. And I was going with KLM, you know, I think I was going to Tulsa, you know. So I was doing my connecting flight through Amsterdam.
You know, so we're all waiting for our flight. So there were a lot of Jews on the flight. I will never forget that day. And so, you know, there were all these Jewish, they are our brethren, you know, through Abraham. You know, those are Jewish brothers, you know, and they were all wearing all these Orthodox, you know, and they had all these. So, you know, I, of course, I've been a Christian for about 2 years and all that. So, even though I saw the scripture just came and they make broad their phylacteries. And they were so holy. They won't talk to you, talk to Gentiles. You know? And in London, there's a place called Golders Green. Golders Green is where all the, you know, a lot of Jews and synagogues are. They're all there. And you see them every day. You know, see them walking on the road and all that. Now, some of them are very nice. Well, you know, I have some Jewish friends. Very, very nice. Very, very nice people. Some of them, you know, but some of them can be very sanctimonious. You know, they say hello to the Gentile because they have to. But you know, you... Didn't you know Gentiles are dogs? Even Jesus said so. You know, so there was this big problem. You know, it still exists today. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this publican. Call on Shanuel. Everybody, turn to your neighbor and say, God save me from I. Anytime I say I, Lord, remind me, it is I, yet not I, but the grace of God which is with me. Always say that. Even if you don't say it with your mouth, you say it in your heart. Never say, I did this, and I did that. Is this not Babylon, which I built? That's what Nebuchadnezzar. With my own hand, is it not this computer program that I wrote? Is it not this job that I got? Is this not this that I did? Be careful. Always remember that everything you have, yes, I, but yet not I, but the grace of God, it will always keep you humble. Always remember it. Whenever we all found that, I call nothing. I care. Hello, somebody. If I haven't taught you anything, and we go say the grace now and go home, I've helped you tonight. You know, if you remove the I out of sin, you know, see this S-I-N, and you put O inside, you get son. So take the I out and put the O inside, so you get the son instead of the sin. I heard that from Papa Ralph. He preached it here some years ago. Amen. Take the I out of your life, and you get the sin out of your life. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. That, thank you, Prof corrected me, that I possess. The guy is forgetting that he doesn't possess anything. He's only a steward. He said, thou fool, thy life is required of thee this night. Whose then shall these things that you have left behind? You don't possess anything. No. That car is not your own. The house is not your own. The clothes are not your own. You're just a steward of what God has made you temporarily. A day will come when you will leave. When you leave, you're not taking one of those things with you. You know why? Naked you came in, naked you go out. The only thing you possess is the life of God inside your heart. Hallelujah. The only thing you're going out of this place with is the nature and the character of God that has developed in your soul. But that's the only thing you can take out of the planet that you didn't come with. Every other thing that you took, that you have here, you're just a steward temporarily. A day will come, one way or the other, In our generation, it will be rapture day in Jesus' name. If on rapture day, you wouldn't be worried about those things. You even, the last thing I will be thinking about is any car or house. Who cares? I got far better ones up there. Give a lot of clap offering. Hallelujah. Woo! Can't wait to see my mansion in heaven. Amen. And then how many know we have chariots? I don't know if you read your Bible properly. Amen. All kinds of nice, you know, all these cars and 747s here, they pale into insignificance in the light of the kind of vehicles we have up there. Amen. Intergalactic vehicles going from galaxy to galaxy. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Put things in their right perspective. This guy hadn't got a clue. He was so self-centered. And that's the problem many of us still have. And the publican, standing far off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. Next verse. Am I talking to anybody here? Then read after me. Say, I tell you. Who's I? The truth. The Lord Jesus. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Oh, Mashele Mengaras. For everyone. Open your mouth, folks. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be what? And he that humbleth himself shall be what? The eyes of the Lord are running to and fro throughout the whole earth. Every day. It's like a laser beam. He's scanning our hearts. He does it 24/7. I'm sure there's some angels just designed for that purpose. They don't have any. They're just robots. That's all they do. You understand? And they're giving a report of your heart. You know, they send a signal to heaven. There's a computer in your name. You know, all the signals just click, 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 click. Humble, proud, 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 proud. A little humble, proud. Yeah, you know. So every, you know, after some time, God just said, "Bring me the records. Let's see what's his heart like." Oh, still on this left side. Okay, keep working on him. You know. God is looking at our hearts. These two guys come to church, temple, church. One is a more righteous person, in quotes, than the other one. The Pharisee, everything he said was true. He wasn't lying. This Pharisee, this guy comes to church every Sunday. Hello? He knows his Bible inside out. He's not an extortioner. He doesn't oppress people. He doesn't do all those kind of things. He's a morally upright man. He's a, you know, relatively speaking, he's a good man. But he has a big problem. Attitude. And you know, all of us fall into that trap. When you're a good person, in quotes, relative, all this good is all relative. There is none good but God. It was all relative. You know, you're good relative to some other people around you. It's part of the satanic, deceptive satanic nature inside the heart. You automatically feel you are better than other people. And somehow you look down on them. You know, mole lo bia wasi o. I don't care, Fairy. That means we were born into light, and these ones are unbelievers. You know, maybe it's true. Maybe you were born into Christian home. You're brought up in church. You don't steal. You don't lie. You don't do all those kind of things habitually. You know, and there's this other guy who's living down the road, who's a thug. Maybe born in Bere, he's a mechanic. They steal, they lie, they do all these things. The tendency, may God have mercy on us. Amen.
is for you to see the person. You belong to where? Don't look around. You know the Holy Ghost doesn't get your number. I don't know where that came out from. That's what people think. You know, you just you see the way they will even look at the person. They despise them. And watch this. It's based on fact. It's true that you're more refined simply because of an accident of birth. And you've been exposed to more of the better things of life. This person is living from hand to mouth. He's a thug. He's a criminal. He's, you know, he's an extortioner. You know, if you are not careful, you will despise them. Don't do it. Always remember that whatever you are in this life is because of the mercy and the grace of God. It's an accident of birth. You are in a particular position. That person knows that if you're going to have anything for them, it should be compassion, not despise. And what you should be looking for is for a way of helping them, not a way of pushing them down. And this is what happened with this guy. The publican, the Pharisee, so you know, he fasts twice a week, paid his tithe. He's a good guy. And everything he said was true. But he had a problem with his heart. His heart was proud and lifted up because he thought that all those things he was doing was by himself. He said he trusted in himself, that he was righteous, and so he despised others. Whatever you do that is right, it is the grace and the mercy of God that is helping you to do it. And you should stay humble. Say, Father, thank you for mercy. So when you now see people who don't have what you have and who are not as, in quotes, good as you are, what you should have is compassion for them and say, ah, Lord, how can I help them? Please help me. Because if it's not for your mercy, I'll be worse than them. So here's this guy. The publican standing far off. You know what? He was so conscious of his sinful state. He knew he was an extortioner. Yes. He probably just last week, you know, he took some, you know, global government says you charge 10,000. He charged 30. You understand? He's going to keep 10. And he's going to give 10 to the soldiers. Then he will give another 10 to Pilate and the centurion. That's how they used to do it. So nothing has changed. Still like that today. Praise the Lord. You know, so he gets to the temple, but something in his heart, even though he's not a nice man, something in his heart wants to get to God. But he knows he's not worthy. So he does the only thing he can think of doing. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The difference between him and the Pharisee is that he is honest about his condition. The Pharisee is dishonest about his condition. So you know what God says? He goes home just more justified. Even though he's the worse guy than the other guy, who is better than him, but dishonest. It's a big lesson. It's a big, big lesson. And it's a thing, it's, you know, don't read it and say, that's the Pharisee. Many of us are like that. We have to make a conscious effort, do you understand, under God to check that attitude. And when you see that attitude yourself, quickly correct it. The biggest mistake you can say, I'm not like that. You're already like that. I remember, that's why, you know, this we prayed this recent times, I don't remember whether it was Pastor Kunle or Pastor Dewey, you know, preaching in church. You know, we have to constantly check our hearts. This heart is a deceitful thing. It's so easy to slip into these into these modes of self-righteousness and pride, and not even know you're in there. That's why you need to judge yourself. So, that guy, when he got that temple, the righteous guy, should have said, Lord, I thank you for your mercy upon my life, helping me to keep your word, helping me to fast, helping me to pray. I appreciate and I thank you for that. This is my friend here. Lord, have mercy on him. Help him. I like Paul. You know what he said? He said, what do you have that you did not receive? And if you received it, why boast as though you did not receive it? Last time I checked, there are only three self-existent people. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So where's your own? You're not intrinsically good. Your goodness only comes by your connection with God. Watch this. Nobody else is intrinsically bad. Their badness only comes because of their disconnect with God. So if you, who are connected to God, get your goodness from God, then why don't you connect the other bad person to God so that they too can become good? Instead of boasting as though you are as if you have a monopoly of God's goodness. You know, we could say the grace now and go. It's very sober in here tonight. It makes sense. Whoever exalts himself, there's something, no matter how good we are, no matter how talented, no matter how blessed, once pride enters your heart, God becomes your enemy. Let me correct that. It's too heavy. God begins to resist you. He doesn't become your enemy. He becomes your enemy if you continue. Begins to resist. God doesn't like it. Doesn't like pride. And I've learned, and I'm still learning. I always check myself. I used to have all these wrong attitudes years and years ago. God's helped me to correct them. Even amongst Christians, you know, those of us who have revelation knowledge, those of us who, you know, if you start despising the guy who doesn't have ma dalomayo ni arkejo, that means he doesn't have revelation knowledge. And what I said is true, but the attitude was wrong. You know, these people don't, you know, despise people who don't speak in tongues. Don't mind them. Say, speak in tongues. They don't even know how to pray. Outer court Christian. And it's true. Everything you're saying is true. But your attitude is wrong. Yes, they may be, but you have to use your souls to become rooted and grounded in love so you're able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height of the love of Christ, and to know the love of Christ, which is greater than knowledge. Now you're talking like God's child. God knows his outer court. God knows he doesn't speak in tongues, but God still loves him. So God says, now you use your own tongues to help him. Don't despise him. It's a problem. But the good news is that we have the answer. You know, we need to watch these attitudinal problems so we don't allow these wrong attitudes to continue to creep into us and make us, you know, behave, have an attitude. It's all an attitude problem, you know. And it's easy, it's very easy to slip into them once there's a big contrast between where you are and the people around you are. Another scripture here, you know, that's why it says, they that measure themselves among themselves are not wise. You fall into this trap anytime you measure yourself among yourselves. You look at people, you look at yourself, then you compare. Never do that. Always compare yourself with Jesus. You always stay small.
Amen.
You stay small all the time. You know why? Jesus is always bigger than you.
And even when you grow and grow and grow and get to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, you will never be higher than Jesus. Once you keep Jesus as your yardstick, it keeps you humble. If you use men as your yardstick, it makes you either, you either have a superiority complex or an inferiority complex. Never use men as your yardstick. Use the Lord Jesus. Oh, one more thing. Hallelujah. Am I helping anybody here tonight? You know, it's good to study the Bible. And especially, you know who's saying all these things? Jesus himself. That's why God gave us the Bible. The four Gospels. This is what the Master himself said. Now watch this. And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. Oh, boys. But Jesus called them unto him, and said, suffer or allow little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. Who's just spoken the truth? Now, what is the attitude of a little child? Now, before I go there, let me just say this. You can see God's attitude towards children. You know, the Lord just got a little bit rugged. When I say it was rugged, you know, it was a carpenter. You know, and he's about 31, 32 years old now. He was a little bit of a tough guy. You know, nice, but, you know, he was. And he had these boys around him, you know, Peter, James, John, Peter, Andrew, Philip, you know. They had a very hectic, busy schedule. You know, you have to be practical. Busy, hectic schedule. Capernaum, Bethsaida, Jerusalem, you know, all the cities in Galilee. They were going around making their circuits. And bring kids, come on. You know, they'll bring these babies, you know. I can imagine, imagine the scene. You know, at any point in time, Jesus probably will have maybe 100, 200, 300 people around him. All the time. You know, he had 12, he had 70. Now, that's apart from the other guys, you know. Everyone say 12, 70, multitude. It's always like that. So I can imagine that, you know, these women, probably women and maybe their husbands, they wanted to bring the children so that he could touch them. This man whose cloth is healing woman with the issue of blood, at least if he touches my child, the child will be blessed. So, and their thought was right. So I can imagine him trying to get through the protocol. All the big guys, and you know, and everybody was like, what's your problem? The child is not sick. Oga is busy. What do you mean? You bring his child. I mean, people, there are sick people. So, you know, Jesus, there's nothing like that misses his attention. In the middle of all of that, his eye just caught what was going on. Your boys are wrong. Allow them. Come on. Bring them. Bring children. The Bible says he laid hands on them and blessed them. Now, it's a very important principle here. And we as Christians should do this. Whenever you have the opportunity or people allow you, you know, always bless little children. I'll tell you the reason why. Children have the life of God inside them. I was alive once without the law. When the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Particularly when they're in that, between 0 and about 5 years old, you know, 2, 3, they're still alive, their spirits are alive to God. By touching those children and blessing them, he was sanctifying those particular ones to the kingdom. It's one of the reasons why we dedicate babies. That's what those parents were coming for. They wanted the master to touch them and have a touch of heaven.
so that to kind of secure the destiny of those children. Hallelujah. Even people who are not Christians. Have you read, remember the scripture? In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, talking about husband and wife. You know, that the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the believing husband, the unbelieving husband. He said, and your children are holy, lest they be unclean. There's something about the life of God that affects children. Are you listening to me? And in particular, you know, if you have a situation where neither husband nor wife is born again, this time they were not born again, Jesus hadn't yet died and all of that, you know, but they can have some access to the life of God, give it to them. Bless the children. Please hold my baby for me. Quickly bless the child. In the airport or something, you have a chance to, you know, whether it's a Christian or not, it doesn't matter. Just bless the child. You don't know what that child will become tomorrow. Just because of that, you're blessing on the child. Very important lesson. Having said that, the next thing here is the principle. It said, allow the little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Then he explained. He said, for whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like this little child will not enter. What is the characteristics of little children? They trust what their parents say. They believe in what their parents say. If you do not have that same kind of trust to the word of God, you will never enter the kingdom. If you do not receive the kingdom of God like a little child, you accept the simplicity of Christ, you know, the truth of God's word in its simplicity, just like a little child, and start practicing it, you will never enter. It doesn't mean you're not born again. You know, I got to close. Let's make a distinction here. You know, the kingdom of God here is talking about total dominion of the divine nature and character, spirit, soul, and body. It's not talking about just being born again. It starts as a seed and born again. But the Bible says the kingdom of God is like leaven. Put it into three measures of leaven until the whole was leavened. So that's what he's talking about. You're not. The reason why so many Christians are not entering the kingdom is because they are not accepting the truth, the instructions, the teachings of the kingdom of God like a little child. You tell people about, you know, perfection, kingdom, and all that, and I don't believe that. Why? Nobody's done it before. I can't see it down the road. I can't see it in my neighbors. I can't see it, you know, so it can't be true. They've refused to take the word of God like a little child. The Bible says so. The Bible says so. So I accept it. Like a little child accepts the word of its parents, I accept the word of God. If God said it, that's it. It has to be true. You know what? God's not a liar. God's all powerful. He's omnipotent, omniscient. He won't be telling me what's not true. God's not dishonest. So I have to accept the word of God like a little child. And that's the principle here. You're not going to go far with God if you're the kind of person who doesn't accept God's word like a little child. It doesn't say, it doesn't mean you'd be a stupid or simple. It just means trust. Just like little children trust the word of adults. You know, if you tell a child something, say, my daddy said, and he takes that as gospel truth, simply because his daddy said it. So as a little child, as a child of God, you know, son of God, you should be able to say, God said. That's what has helped me, my Christian life. Everything I'm doing today by the mercy and the grace of God, I accept because God said it. Now, people told me it wasn't so, but I didn't accept them. I accepted what God said. Let God be true and every man a liar. Why is God teasing us? Why would God tell me I can grow up into him in all things? That he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. What for? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the world, till we all come into the unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And as long as I can say, it's not possible. Oh, come on. Is God a liar? I pray, God, that your whole spirit, that the God of peace sanctify you wholly. That your whole spirit, soul, body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Son of Man. Given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. Having these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. I might grow up into him in all things. The works that I do shall you do also, and greater works. Whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. As he is, so are we in this world. Oh, come on. It's your choice. Do you accept the word of God? Those aren't my words. They're not Olubi's words. Those are words that's clear. And they don't even need revelation knowledge. It's just there, black and white. Except you accept those things as a little child, you will in no wise enter the kingdom. Go to heaven, but you will never experience the total dominion of the character and the nature of God, your spiritual and body on this side of heaven, and lose a great destiny and a great reward. Become like a little child. Let us pray. Talk to God. Have the attitude of a little child. The trust. That's the word there. The key word there is trust. God said it. It's so. We have 2,000 years of history showing God's faithfulness. And like I said some time ago, there are three things you can look at. The Bible says, in the matter of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Three things you can, anytime you want to doubt the Bible or the devil, just remember these things. Look at the heavens. They declare the glory of God. Look at your body. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. The DNA. Then look at natural Israel. And that settles it. The God who made the heavens, the God who made your body, and the God of Israel. After 2,000 years, made them a nation. Is there a scientific military powerhouse? And once I see all those things, there is nothing else in that book that I will read, I won't believe. Hallelujah. Talk to God tonight. Have the attitude of a little child. It's an attitude, it means trust. It doesn't mean foolishness. You know, children can be foolish. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about have the trust. Have trust God like little children trust their parents. Talk to God. Trust God. All things we read tonight, all things we learned tonight. And watch your attitude. Yeah, you may be a Pharisee, and it's nothing wrong in being a Pharisee. Jesus himself was a Pharisee. The problem was not being a Pharisee. The problem was the wrong attitude of the Pharisee. There was no problem fasting twice a week, giving tithes of all the attitude. He was doing the right thing. There's no problem with all the things he was doing. So we're not saying don't be a Pharisee. Be a Pharisee, but don't be a hypocritical Pharisee. Do the right thing. Practice the right thing. But remember, it is not I. It is I, yet not I, but the grace of God, which is with me. Thank you.
On bended knees we come with a humble heart. We come,
bowing down,
bowing down,
bowing down before your holy throne.
Lift those holy hands. Hallelujah. Lord, I pledge
anew.
I worship you.
I worship you in spirit.
Hallelujah.
Lord, I worship you.
I worship you in truth.
Please make my life.
Make my life a holy praise
unto you.
bended knees I come.
On bended knees,
on bended knees I come.
With a humble heart.
With a humble heart
I come.
Bowing down.
Bowing down.
Bowing down.
Before. Holy throne.
Holy throne,
lifting holy hands.
Holy hands,
lifting holy hands to you.
Lord, I pledge.
Lord, I pledge my love unto you.
I worship you.
I worship you in spirit.
Lord, I worship you.
I worship.
My heart
for holy praise unto you.
On bended knees, one more time. Glory to God.
On bended knees.
On bended knees. I come.
With a humble heart.
With a humble heart. I come.
Bowing down.
Holy hands.
Lifting holy hands.
Lord, we pledge.
Lord, we pledge our love of thee.
We worship you, hallelujah.
We worship you. Lord, we worship you.
We worship you in spirit.
Oh, Lord, we worship you.
We worship you in truth.
Make my life.
Make our life.
Make our life a holy praise unto you.
Put one hand on your heart, raise the other hand to God. Rededicate. We're going to pray in a minute, but just, you know, we do this all the time. Why? Because the heart is constantly evolving. We are always, we go through all kinds of things every day, and that's why we come to the church, so that the Word of God now, you know, helps us to put the thing back into correct alignment. You need to go back into your heart, Lord. Oh, you know, have I despised anybody today? Have I had a wrong attitude? You know, have I become, you know, proud? You know, I, yet not I. You know, all those little things, you know, just, you know, have I accepted the Word of God like a little child? I trust God's Word concerning these issues. Or is it just Pastor Luby's? You know, my Pastor Luby, that's all you hear, all this. You know, people, all kinds of attitudes on the inside. You need to change all of that, and it's a constant thing. It says, keep your heart with all diligence, Father. You need to constantly. The heart is not something you can leave for long, because you're living in an evil environment, and all kinds of things from the air are flowing into your heart and pushing it here and pushing it there. That's why you need to hear the Word of God constantly like this. And you need to rededicate and reset your will. It's a daily thing, really. One of the reasons why we have communion, you know, which we have, you know, periodically. But this is daily. The Word of God is daily. You don't have to wait until when you take communion, you know. Let's pray. Say, Father, we confess our sins. And so we cling with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Let us come tonight reminding me that it is your will that I have and I maintain a humble attitude, especially when I see those that I am better than. Morally, intellectually, financially, socially. Help me, Lord, to maintain a humble attitude, to recognize that all that I have by your mercy and grace. And I should not despise those who don't have what I have yet, but rather have compassion towards them, to help them to come up. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord, not to measure myself amongst others, but to measure myself against the Lord Jesus Christ, so as to maintain this humble attitude. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord, to be persistent in prayer, recognizing that when answers haven't yet come, patience is doing a work inside me, so that I can receive the promise, that I will have the character, my soul prospering even as I prosper, so I can have the character to handle the weight of the glory of the blessings that you want to give me. I know you're a good God. You do not deny me. You do not keep things from me. You love me. You want to give me even more than I want it. But you're doing a work inside me. Help me to remember this. Help me to remember this. To be persistent. To watch and pray. Always. To be persistent in prayer. Wrestling and overcoming wicked spirits, principalities and powers on one hand. And doing a work inside my own soul. My mind, my will, my emotions and my body on the other hand. Knowing that as this work is done on both fronts, you will bring the answer and give it to me to the praise of your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Nikatala mashala proto fredefres. Zelever, ziketo fredelesk. Lombridika toske fredesk. Lombradela mashalikito fredes. Lopridia, yakato fre. Lombina shahio. Toloma tufres, ombridis, tufrinis, ongars, geliki tufres, non frines, non fridelas, tolomangara duras, tufres, gelia, yokofre, zeren, sufrideles, tolomoshaki tufrides, ombridufresk. In Jesus' name. See, Father, we confess our sins, and so we cling with the blood.